Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach, and I am Phoebe Bikini Pro.
So today we are going to be discussing scale fluctuations and why they happen, what to expect around that. But first, we have a couple of items that we felt were important for prep lifers to know. And number one is that they have set the Olympia date for October 7th through 10th, and it's going to be in Orlando, Florida. So woo-hoo! I heard great things about last year's event, and I think that the venue was really, really nice. So I'm excited. It's going to be my first Olympia going there. I'm very, very pumped.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. I love that it's going to be on the East Coast, so I won't have to worry about the West Coast time zone. That's so super selfish of me, but I'm excited.
So, Chris, tell us about your weekend. You had a busy weekend over there on the East Coast.
Yes.
You recently attended a seminar.
Yes. Yeah, it was really great. The Shop Gym in Ashburn, Virginia, they hosted a bodybuilding seminar, and they did a really good job. Friday night, they brought in Skylar. She's one of the owners of the Shop Gym. They brought in her coach, Kim Odo, and he gave like a three-hour seminar on his coaching philosophy and strategies. So, you know, he gave a little bit of tidbits there, allowed for Q&A. So it was good for my coaching brain to kind of be challenged and hear what other types of questions competitors were wondering about. And then on Saturday, they had a large group of people. They had Gary Udit there. They had JM there taking photos. They had Becky Coffin, who is a head judge, and they had Loli, I can't remember her last name. She's a wellness pro. But they split up the day in sections. So like for an hour and a half, they had bikini posing where Gary and Becky would go over like what as judges they look for in a front pose and a back pose. And then they allowed competitors on stage and had them do like some practice posing and some mock judging and moving people around and showing them how to tweak themselves. And then so like every, I'd say like maybe hour and a half, they brought in on a different category. So
what
I got to stay for
bikini. With bikini.
Sure. Yeah. So a lot of things I was noticing with bikini is Gary kept saying like, keep your head up. That was one thing that I noticed he reiterated several times, not just like your front pose, but like when he had girls walk to the back curtain or even just standing in their back poses, he really emphasized like keeping your head up, like exuding confidence, showing that you like you're meant to be there. It's like that persona, which I think is so important in bikini, just your head position. And you would think like, oh, it shouldn't matter in your back pose. Like a lot of girls look down at their feet when they're walking to the back curtain, but he emphasized keeping your head up a lot. So I thought that was a big takeaway. Becky Clawson mentioned the back for bikini competitors, because I know there was like a trend of lat flaring, and we talked about this on a previous podcast, but she definitely emphasized that you don't want to pinch your shoulder blades together in your back pose, but you also don't want to worry about flaring them. So she really like emphasized like a relaxed back position, and then, you know, framing your midsection with your elbows. You know, some girls, they wing their elbows out too far and they're like really sharp, like elbow flare. And she really emphasized like just softening that down a little bit. So I would say those were probably the main things from the bikini posing that I took away.
Back pose, I know that this was something that I shared with our community on our group chat for our team show coming up. as the ladies and the athletes are, you know, preparing with their hair, I told them to make sure that when they get their hair trimmed in the taper, that they are looking up and hitting their back pose as they get that final trim, because when you look up, your hair goes down. And so a lot of times people overlook that factor. And if they're looking straight ahead, which is what most hairstylists say when they're trimming you, they say, you know, look straight ahead and then, or tilt your chin down. Those are obviously not what you want to do in a pose. You want to lift your head up, and then it lengthens your hair about 1 to 2 inches, I would say, for most people.
Yeah, so. It does make a big difference. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, they also talked about, like, timing of your turns, like, which I know we have some cues. Gary kept saying 1-1000, 2-1000, and turn. I really liked hearing his cueing. I thought that it was really cute. And then the one other thing they were talking about walking for bikini was, Becky, I think, said it best. She said, you want to walk deliberately, but you want to step softly. So, you know, you want to be intentional about your walk on stage, especially for bikini. It's so important. But I think too many times the stepping either is like really harsh. And so it's like you're pounding the stage as you're walking on there, and it like, it really shifts your body a lot. Or you're walking too gently and gingerly on stage, and then it's not exuding enough persona. So I thought that was a really good way to describe how you should, you know, move about on stage.
Yeah, that's interesting that Gary has that, because we do the cue to our athletes saying thank you very much in your head. That'll be about 1,000 to 1,000. So good tips.
Yeah, I like that one better. The thank you very much is easy to remember.
Okay, good.
But yeah. And then they just did some, you know, they did for each section, they did some wellness posing, some figure, and then they had a panel in the middle of the day where they had some really great Olympians just talk about their story and how they got involved in competing. And I felt the biggest takeaway, or the trend that I noticed the most, was how people were utilizing bodybuilding to either help them make something beautiful out of a painful situation, whether it's like a loss of one, or they're really trying to like find a new identity or figure out a new chapter in their life. So they had something structured to help them facilitate that. Or how they were like initially discouraged by their bodybuilding experience, like their placing, and feeling like, maybe this is not, you know, something that I'm made to do. And then taking time away from the stage and coming back, you know, like making the decision that, oh, you know what, I'm not done, and coming back to stage, and then just like winning pro cards and stepping on Olympia stage, like being very successful. So I think there was a good mix of stories, and it was very inspiring. It was fun to see everybody and talk to a bunch of professionals in the industry and network. I definitely got a lot out of it. So thank you to Skylar and Jason for hosting that event at the Shop Gym.
Awesome. So now we're going to shift gears and talk about our today's topic with scale fluctuations. And something that I've noticed that I'll see with people's check-ins, they'll be like, oh, throughout the week I was this weight, but then when it came to check-in day, I was up 3 pounds. And I said, you know, in response to this, why don't you start taking an average weight on the week? And just as long as you can handle weighing yourself every day, knowing that it's just data you're collecting, and then coming up with that average. Because a lot of times when we have that check-in, what I'll see when they have that big jump is that they're a little bit anxious about it, and they have a big cortisol dump, and so they become pretty watery. Can you share with the listeners a couple of items that maybe as we have our check-in journals in our portal, we cover a lot of these items so that we require the athletes to reflect on each of these things so that we can kind of see the whole picture and not just, you know, them giving us a weight, pictures and measurements, but we're kind of seeing, you know, these are the variables that could be affecting – the data that we're collecting. So why don't you start with one of those?
Great. Yeah. So creatine is a supplement that, you know, we've talked about on a previous podcast and can cause some water retention with the intercellular water retention. So if you're utilizing creatine, you could see a jump in the scale. Also, increases of carbs or sodium, like such an example of utilizing a refeed meal, all of those things are going to make your body hold a little bit of extra water as well. Like carbohydrates are known to pair that molecular structure with water, so that you're going to hold a little bit more water in your physique as well. And then also along the same lines as that is having additional like gluten or dairy, or if there's certain foods that you're ingesting that cause a little bit of inflammation, you may see a little bit of an increase on the scale as well too. So those are a couple of those. Did you want to follow up with that, Amy?
I think you covered those pretty well. And just note that if you are doing your refeed or your untracked meal on the weekend, and then you're like one of our athletes where your check-in's on Monday morning, you have to really take that into account that, you know, it is likely going to be up, but then it's going to go back down. So just, you know, take that with a grain of salt. And again, if you're taking your average weight on the week, then that's that little fluctuation, that blip, isn't going to be just that one snapshot of how the week went. The next things I kind of want to talk about, and not every athlete this will apply to, but if you are taking like some sort of hormone replacement therapy, or you're using like a PED or a SARM, those can definitely spike the scale and the fluctuation with the hormones. So with that, I'll also pair in obviously our menstrual cycle as females and when we ovulate. Typically those spikes and dips in progesterone and estradiol can really, you know, that can dictate the scale ranging in different ways. And so I always tell people to not only, you know, again, take the average, so that if you're PMS and, you know, the scale spikes 3 pounds or something like that, so that that's, you know, we know that that's just a hormonal fluctuation, but also to track your cycle on an app is super beneficial. So that way you don't panic or freak out when it does jump. You can see, I mean, I use P-Tracker. It'll tell me, you know, when I'm ovulating, and then it'll also tell me like when my next cycle is to be expected. So those, you know, 3 pound weight jumps aren't a huge shock to me, because I'm definitely one of those people that sees that fluctuation. How about you, Chris?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And I'm really glad that I've tracked them on a regular basis, because I see fluctuations with ovulation as well too. So you could be like halfway through your menstrual cycle and all of a sudden I'll be like, what in the world? Like, that's an interesting, like, 3 pounds that came out of nowhere. And that's what I feel like a lot of times it is. It's like it's an instant spike and then people panic. But the more data you collect, especially as women, this is a normal fluctuation. It can help ease your mind in knowing, like, you didn't do anything wrong. This is, like, a normal part of life. And like Amy stated, like, it goes away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so sometimes people, you know, segueing into that, some people will experience constipation as right before their cycle starts. And then others will experience constipation around the time that they're ovulating. And so that can really impact the scale and just constipation in general. So if there's certain foods that cause disruption, you could, you know, be up several pounds due to you know, a backed up GI system. And then it obviously will also increase your inches and your waist as well. So, anything to add on that?
Yeah. I mean, I'll be perfectly candid. My digestion does slow down before my menstrual cycle. I found it really helpful to incorporate digestive enzymes as needed. So if I feel like I'm coming up on, my menstrual cycle, I'll know that a couple days out, my digestion will slow down, and having the digestive enzymes has actually been really helpful and just helping me feel more comfortable. So I don't know, is there anything that you recommend for clients that need a little bit of help around that time of the month?
Yeah, I, as a staple, I take GI Advantage every day. And I know that that keeps me regular, even when in the past, like, I would be a little bit constipated, like PMS or when I'm ovulating. I've noticed that that's completely gone away. And then if I stop taking it, kind of comes back. So that is a first form product that I use that I really like. Some people undereat fiber and so they get constipated, and then some people overeat fiber and it constipates them. So you're going to experience a huge fluctuation if you're eating way more fiber than your body is used to. For example, like if you're overdoing it on, you're having like a ton of just nutrient dense food that has tons of fiber, like in fruits and vegetables, those bugs, you know, good or bad in your GI tract, that's what they feed off of, and they release gases. So it's going to pool water into your digestive tract when you have that increased fiber. So know that that can also be another reason why the scale can vary. And if you are going on any type of antibiotic, that too can make the scale jump about 2 to 3 pounds in most people. And again, it's the GI tract, the gut microbiome is shifting because an antibiotic gets rid of the bad bugs, but it also gets rid of the good bugs. So it's important that you, after an antibiotic, repopulate your gut bacteria and just know that you might gain weight during that time on the antibiotic, but it's important to put some good bacteria in through probiotics. You can do like fermented foods such as apple cider vinegar with the mother in it, or you can do kefir, or like some like I enjoy the zero fat Phage Greek yogurt for repopulating my gut. And sauerkraut, things like that. Fermented foods can really help. Kombucha tea, things like that. So do you have any thoughts on the antibiotic piece of that?
No, I don't think so. I think you covered that really well.
Okay. So let's get into training that can cause weight fluctuations.
Yes. So sore muscles can actually cause an increase in the scale as well. I do have clients that, because they weigh themselves every day, they'll say to me, you know, like the day after legs, I'm always, after my leg workout, I'm always heavier, but it's not the same thing as my upper body. And I think that's because our leg muscles are so large. And so there's more surface area for, you know, muscle breakdown and then repair. And, it's true. Water retention happens as well, too, when you're tearing down those muscles. Correct, Amy? Am I right on that?
Yeah, you have a buildup of lactic acid. And if you do HIIT-style cardio, you can just get a lot of inflammation. It's a very, it's a stress on the body. It's an acute stress, just like exercise is eustress. It's a positive stress for the most part, unless you're overdoing it. But it will cause cortisol, inflammation, as your body, it has been overreached. And so that's why actually during peak week, we deload our athletes, because your prep is a huge overreach. When you're prepping for a show, you're really driving up cortisol. You know, calories are lower, cardio is higher, your movement, all of that. There's a lot of stress on the body. So when we start to pull back on training, get rid of some of the muscle soreness and pull back on cardio, we find that, you know, the body kind of relaxes and releases a little bit of cortisol. And leading up into the show, they come out fresh. I mean, I can even see it in some people's pictures. You know, you kind of see like a wateriness on their legs if they're really overdoing it. So, Yeah.
Do you notice that, since you've had you've had multiple years experience, do you notice that, can you tell like overreaching outside of peak week with how a physique looks based on like wateriness and like especially their back of their legs?
Absolutely. Yeah, I have this one client in particular that she always, when she's taken some time off, maybe she does like a deload or something like that, and she just has like her body has a very inflammatory response to exercise, and she'll drive up in that week of hard training, like 3 to 5 pounds, and she always freaks out. And I'm like, okay, how many days have you been training? You've been training 6 days a week. We know this from past experience that this is just an inflammatory response, and that it's not reflective of you doing something wrong or not following what you're supposed to be. So, yeah,
Good.
I see it more prevalent in like the clients that are like higher stress. I notice that their body
That makes sense.
reacts like pretty intensely. So those are the kind of people that I have to do cortisol resets pretty frequently, and deloads and things, because there's a certain like diminishing return almost with them. Like if they go too hard, it's just not serving them, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure that's tough to. Well, I actually think the cortisol resets, like you're saying, are probably a good idea because being in the gym, I know for me, helps mitigate stress. But how your body like interprets constant stress, I'm sure is like it may be not, it can't differentiate. So having that downtime gives them like a refresher, then they can go back to training. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
and
think that's a great strategy.
some clients, they can only handle like 3 days a week of training. It's just they're those higher stress individuals, and we just find that their body kind of bucks if we try to do too much. So it's like more or less is more for them. But everybody's different.
Yeah.
So another one, when we talk about our scale fluctuation, would be hours of sleep. And I notice this, especially I'm a person that weighs myself every day. So when I wake up early for like a flight at like 4 in the morning or something, I'm always heavier than I would be if I, you know, on the weekends when I sleep in, I'm always down in weight. And it's merely a hydration thing, because I guess this is one thing that we should have talked about from the very beginning, is that we ask all of our clients to take a dry, fasted weight first thing in the morning, you know, after you've gone to the bathroom. So it's just a matter of really, if you're getting more sleep, the scale is going to show lower because you've had more time to kind of flush out your body, and then also like digest food and just get more dry, I would say. Do you have anything to add on that?
That does make a big difference. Do you think there are just recovery aspects that happen with adequate sleep that reduce the weight or they keep
Cortisol.
the scale from jumping as well too? Yeah.
Yeah, I think
Yeah.
so too. But I mean, I've just noticed that if I wake up early and I weigh myself and then I go back to bed and I wake up later, go to the bathroom, it's like I'm down like a couple pounds. I mean, it just shows that
Nice.
it's just like water. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah, yeah.
just getting more dry. You're having more time to be dehydrated, essentially. So, yeah. And then,
Perfect.
the next one, when we talk about dehydration, kind of goes straight into this one. I'll notice that I just love stepping on the scale after I come home from Colorado, because the altitude, you get extremely dehydrated. And Flatlanders don't understand this if they haven't been out to the mountains. And then they come out there and they try to go, go, go. You can get extremely dehydrated in high altitude. That's why when we fly, we also get dehydrated. So you're going to see scale fluctuations. Like if you, let's say you're going to a competition and you're flying, and then the next morning you weigh yourself, you may weigh a lot less like that day because you had flown and you're just a little bit more dehydrated. I notice after I come back from the mountains, I weigh about 3 pounds less than what I normally do.
Wow.
So altitude definitely impacts our hydration levels for sure. And then speaking of that, in aldosterone, it can do the opposite if you are severely dehydrated or you are doing a severe cut of sodium. So aldosterone is our hormone that kind of protects our body from excreting too much sodium if we're restricting that. So for example, when we're limiting water for athletes before they go on stage so that they don't have a bloated belly of water, you really don't want to go longer than 12 hours. Otherwise, aldosterone mm-hmm. starts to creep up and starts to spike, and it makes you retain water. And then if you go low sodium, it does the same thing as well. It chronically elevates your aldosterone. So super important never to cut out sodium. It's an essential electrolyte that our body needs to function. And our body is super smart about trying to maintain the proper amount. So if you're not giving it enough salt, not giving it enough water, then aldosterone is going to kick in and regulate the kidneys to keep that on track so that the body can still function properly.
Yeah. I experienced the altitude and all of this stuff. My body went crazy.
Yeah, we and you had the menstrual cycle. You had the storm.
I had the perfect storm.
Yes,
coach, help me out here.
Yes, it was crazy, but these are all lessons that we learn from, and I think every fail is a fail forward as long as we're making messy progress and we're learning from those mistakes. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So other ways that I think that people can really drop. So there was a point in time where I was living a low carb lifestyle. And I remember the first week that I did it, I dropped 7 pounds eliminating carbs. It was crazy. But then again, those low carb keto dieters, if they start adding carbohydrates back in, they're going to see the scale go up majorly. So just, keep that in mind when you're thinking about the scale and its fluctuations. I don't think I have any other things. Is there anything that we missed?
No, I think this is really good. I think it's, and also post show when people they have a celebration meal and they go back to drinking water, they have high sodium or more carbs than they were before too. These are all good reasons, why the scale may increase as well. So I think it's just important to know what's going on with your body, know the reasons why, and differentiate between its fluctuations are normal. I think that's the bottom line here. There's so many variables we listed, several. So just take it, with a grain of salt, with some data, be comprehensive in your thinking about what's going on with your body and communicate with your coach. So hopefully this was helpful.
Yeah. And hopefully you're able to have a well-versed coach that with experience that understands that these are things that impact. So they're not just going to see your scale jump up 5 pounds and automatically be like, okay, we're cutting your food or we're giving you all this cardio.
Yeah.
They need to be understanding and understand that there are all of these variables. And so with that, if you are interested in finding your unicorn prep, we do have an application on our website, glamgirlbikini.com. You can hit the get started button if you would like to find out more about coaching with us. If you would like to connect with us on Instagram, you can find us at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. And we just love all the messages that you all send and the ideas and DMs. We also appreciate any kind of shout outs on your story. Reviews or ratings on iTunes are super appreciated. So thanks for listening, guys. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.